Baker and State on 90.5 WKAR. How green is the 2014 North American International Auto Show? Well, it's not the greenest. At least that's what our next guest thinks. Jim Motovalli is a journalist and author whose work focuses on environmental issues and transportation. He's a contributor to the New York Times, NPR's Car Talk, the Mother Nature Network, and author of the book High Voltage, the Fast Track to Plug In the Auto Industry. Jim Motovalli, welcome to Current State.
Great to be on.
Before we delve into the Detroit Auto Show, let's clarify first, what constitutes a green vehicle?
Well, it's kind of a broad category because there are electric cars that are just running on batteries. There are plug-in hybrids that can run on batteries but also have small gas engines. There's regular hybrids which never plug in but use a battery for supplemental power. Then there's a bunch of other categories like fuel cell cars that run on hydrogen, natural gas cars. Green car is a pretty broad category. There's a lot of different types, but right now the electric battery cars and the hybrids seem to be dominant.
More recently, there has been more attention on automakers and their green vehicle efforts, but the history of green cars goes further back. What are some of the earlier efforts?
Well, actually, you could go back to 1899 when there were New York taxis that were battery vehicles. And in the early days of automobiling, the electric cars were actually dominant over the gas cars because they didn't have to be cranked and they didn't put out all this noise and smell and all that. And they were particularly marketed as women's cars. But once you could have a self-starter for the gasoline engine, and once gas cars got a whole lot better by like 1915, the electric car went into slumber and pretty much stayed there for like 40 or 50 years until it came back. Obviously, the early ones were not motivated by environmental concerns, but concern about the environment is what brought them back.
You made the trek to the Detroit Auto Show last week. Jim, what was your overall impression of the show and the green vehicles featured?
Well, there weren't a whole lot of green vehicles featured, and I have sort of a theory about that. If you went to the Detroit show last year, you would have seen a ton of them. But this year, there was only one electric car debuted, which was a version of the Volkswagen Golf. But for the most part, there were lots of big horsepower and concept cars, all sorts of dream machines, but not a lot of electric cars. And I think one of the reasons is that most of the ones that were going to come out have already come out. Most manufacturers have only one electric car, and they're not going to change it every year. So I think we've seen the big wave of introductions for electric battery cars and plug-in hybrids. So it's not like every auto show is going to be packed with them.
What about consumer demand, though? Are consumers generally, are they becoming more interested in green cars?
Yes, a poll show that maybe 3 in 5 drivers say they think they're going to eventually buy one. But the market in 2013, you could say that it doubled because it went from 50,000 to 100,000 cars, but that's still pretty small when the whole year was 15.6 million. But there is a lot of interest. I think the battery cars are getting a whole lot better. And for the most part, even millennials or Gen X, those people are saying they really like it. In fact, their favorite cars in a recent poll was hybrids. And I think battery electrics are coming up. It's still a pretty much a niche market, but you have certain cars like the Tesla Model S, which everybody loves, and is the best-selling car in Norway, amazingly enough.
Number one in Norway.
Number one in Norway, where it's really cold, you know?
Yeah. Besides the environment, what benefits does driving an electric car have?
Well, I think it in the long run, operating the car is a whole lot cheaper than operating a gas car. Maybe it costs about 30 cents a mile to fill your car with gas, depending on what vehicle you have. And maybe it's 5 cents a mile with an electric car. You can also fuel it up at home by plugging into your garage charger. And I would have to say, though, that even though operating it may be cheaper, the higher purchase price or lease price probably means that you're going to be underwater for at least a few years. So I should say that the lease prices on battery cars have come way down. There's now a bunch of them for $199 a month, and that's a really good deal. And in states like California, you can get these very large benefits from driving electric. You can go on the HOV lanes. You get a $2,500 incentive when you buy the car. There's a lot of reasons to do it. Plus, you get the federal. Anyone who buys an electric car that's battery only will get a $7,500 federal income tax benefit.
We're talking with Jim Motovalli. Jim's a journalist and author whose work focuses on environmental issues and transportation, and we're talking about green vehicles, in particular at the Detroit Auto Show. You maintain green cars were not necessarily front and center at this year's show, but there were some interesting developments. Otherwise, Ford unveiled their aluminum-bodied F-150 pickup. Why is the aluminum body significant?
I think that's very significant, and I broke that story a few months ago. And if you look at it, the Ford F-150 pickup is the best-selling vehicle in the United States and has been for 32 years. So it's a big deal when there's a new market. And by putting an aluminum body on it, Ford has been able to reduce the weight by 700 pounds. And if you combine that with the EcoBoost engines that they offer as an alternative, you could maybe get an F-150 to 30 miles per gallon on the highway.
Hmm.
That's hugely significant. You have to keep in mind that all the automakers are trying to reach a fleet average of 54.5 miles per gallon by 2025. So they're under a lot of pressure to make all their cars, including their conventional vehicles, more fuel efficient. Let me mention another car that I wrote about that was unveiled there, and shows that not all the green cars are necessarily battery vehicles or hybrids. Volkswagen showed off a Passat Blue Motion vehicle. This is a mid-sized car that they make here in the United States in Chattanooga, Tennessee. They showed off a version of that that has cylinder deactivation, which means it's a four-cylinder car that on the highway becomes a two-cylinder car.
Wow.
And by doing that, you can get up to 42 miles per gallon on the highway in a mid-sized car. So that's really, really impressive.
That's if you're going at slower speeds or you're idling or something?
No. If you're at highway speeds, because to maintain a car going down the road, if it's already up to speed,
requires
a whole lot.
Okay, I see. So the faster you're going, the fewer cylinders are actually working.
Yeah, well, as long as you're sort of not accelerating,
you
can probably just sort of cruise along on two cylinders, yes.
How interesting. A larger model of the Honda Fit, which we've all seen Honda Fits on the road, a larger model of the Fit was rolled out at the Detroit Auto Show. What's significant about this redesign?
Well, I call that the car of the show for me. And maybe I'm prejudiced because I actually own a Honda Fit. But I think they're marvels of space utilization and fuel economy. And that car also gets over 40 miles per gallon on the highway. And it has storage capacity that exceeds that of many, many SUVs. I've got a 2007 Fit, and I often use it for, when I'm moving my daughter into college or something like that, because it has enormous, it's really tall, and it has these things called magic seats. And when they're folded down, you really can get a lot of things in them. And the 2015 model retains all that. It is a little bit larger, not very much larger. It's pretty much anyone that looks at it will know it's a Fit, but they just tweaked it a bit, and I think they made it a bit better. And I think for most people, that is really a great family car. I don't, most people think, oh, I can't live with something that small. But if it can haul around more stuff than your SUV, and it can seat five very comfortably. It's funny, another car at the Detroit show was the 2015 Mustang, and I attended the debut of that car, and it has practically no rear leg room. And I said, this car doesn't have any rear leg room, and they said to me, well, it's a Mustang. I don't understand that as an explanation. I think cars should have rear leg room.
Many were hoping that Tesla would unveil their Model X crossover SUV. Why are people excited about this car?
Well, I think it's a crossover on the platform of the Model S, which is their current model. and it has these things called falcon doors, which other people call them gull wing doors. They sort of fold out and up. Yeah, you have to see them to believe them, but they're sort of like the old Mercedes gull wing. And it's sort of a utility vehicle, and I think Tesla might finally be able to make money on them, because it doesn't have to build a whole new platform. It's the same basic drivetrain as the Model S. So they did not actually, people did think they were going to unveil that, but they didn't. Instead, they just said, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We sold 20% more cars in the fourth quarter than we said before, and we're expanding into Europe and China, and we have a lot of what they call superchargers, these fast chargers. You can now drive across the country on their supercharger network. So they touted all this little stuff. And it was funny, their vice president, who's French, he said that they were going to pursue reckless growth. So Elon Musk had to, had to qualify later. And so, no, he meant he's French. He, what he's trying to say is relentless growth.
Oh, that's funny. You mentioned the standards for fuel efficiency are going up in 2025 to 54 miles per gallon, thereabouts?
Yes.
Remind us where vehicles are currently. What's the current standard?
Oh, I would say, I'm not sure exactly where we're at right now, but it's effectively a doubling of fuel economy from where we are now in 10 model years. So it's a huge challenge for automakers to get there. I mean, we're already in the 2015 model year, so we're talking about 2025. They've got to effectively double the fleet, and that includes all their SUVs, all their crossovers, all their trucks. The whole average of all that has to be 54.5.
Mm.
And right now, they don't have any vehicles that even get that on the highway. They don't have any vehicles, and we're talking about the fleet average. So this is a huge difference. They've got to do a lot of things like using aluminum bodies and making cars really fuel efficient, using cylinder deactivation that I mentioned, putting out a lot of electric cars, a lot of hybrids. I think that's what we're going to see. And consumer acceptance may take a little while, but the vehicles are going to be out there because they have to meet these goals. And also, there are California rules that are a bit different. They actually mandate putting electronic or electric cars on the road. They have quotas, and that's going to be a big driver also. You can't just do it with conventional cars. For California, which is a huge auto market, you have to do battery electrics or fuel cells.
Are you expecting other makers to copy Volkswagen's cylinder deactivation technology then?
I think they're not the first one to do it, and I think we'll see others doing that. It's a lot easier to do it with, say, a V8 engine, making that a V6. Doing it with a four-cylinder inline engine and making it an inline two, that's a real technical challenge, and we didn't actually see it run or anything, but making that engine so it doesn't vibrate uncontrollably is going to be a big challenge. But I do think that car is going to become a production car. It was just a concept at the show, but they strongly hinted it's not only going to become a production car, but it's going to be made in the U.S. in Chattanooga.
Well, this has been really fascinating stuff. Jim Motovalli is a contributor to the New York Times, NPR's Car Talk, the Mother Nature Network. He's also the author of the book, High Voltage, The Fast Track to Plug in the Auto Industry. Jim, many thanks.
Sure, thank you.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.